Chapter 9. So if you'll find your place there once again. God only uses people who are willing to get out of their comfort zone. Let me say that again. God only uses people who are willing to get out of their comfort zone. Melissa and I, before we got married, there was a process that I personally had to work through to woo her and bring her along so that she would be as interested in me as I was in her. And in that process, there was a lot of things that I changed about myself. When you're in love, you're willing to get outside of your comfort zone, aren't you? At times, do strange things. And we see two that are, you know, in love and they want to be married to each other. And in that process, you know, strange things happen. And that's fairly normal. I remember when I bought my wife a flower and a pink bear. And you might think, well, that's not a big deal. But she wasn't my wife and I wasn't 100% sure if she liked me. And so it was early on in this process, and so I was really nervous, and I was very uncomfortable. I was definitely outside of my comfort zone. But you know, I was happy to do that, or willing to do that, because of the love that I had for her, the care, the concern that I had for her. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians, wants these Christians to learn to get outside of their comfort zone. And that's an important part of the character that needed to be developed in them, because it would cause them to be used by God in a greater way than they were being used. Paul had been dealing with all kinds of problems, and those of you who had been part of our study thus far, you've noticed, haven't you, that Paul, when he wrote the book of Corinthians, he wasn't writing an encouraging book like when he wrote Philippians. Corinthians was a book that's dealing with problems. It was a book that's dealing with errors. And so there was a lot of correcting that took place. And it was necessary. And Paul did that. In chapter 8, you might recall when Paul wanted the church to understand that they were leading others into sin, that this was a part of their character that needed to change. And so he showed them by his own example in chapter 9, in the first part of chapter 9, that he himself had a privilege where he could receive a paycheck because the man of God was worthy of a paycheck. But he chose not to receive a paycheck, didn't he? And so he not only preached that he wanted them to be an example and not to lead others into sin, but he himself was willing to make sacrifices and to be that example to the believers or the people that were around him. Overall, Paul did everything that he did that he might reach more people. And wouldn't it be a blessing if it was our attitude this morning that we would be willing to do what we do for the purpose of reaching more people with the gospel? So that we would be willing to make changes in our life personally, and the only motive is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching out potentially into the lives of others. And that's what Paul was willing to do. He was willing to make changes in his own personal character, in his own personal life, and the things he did, the things he had freedom to do, and the things that he did not do. He was willing to make those changes. He was willing to get outside of his comfort zone just to reach people. That was his attitude. He made himself a servant. That means he was willing to become anything he needed to become. Look at verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Why, Paul? Verse 19. That I might gain the more. So Paul says, I was not a slave, but I made myself a slave for Christ, just to win people. Now he said in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, that phrase, free from all men here meant that he was freeborn in a civil sense, or one who was not a slave. However, when you apply this freeborn term and you put it in context, what Paul is saying is that his relationship with God was not related to the customs, the traditions, or the ceremonies of the Jews of the day. So he was saying, I am not bound to keep the Jewish ceremonies. He was saying that I am not bound to maintain the Sabbath. He was saying, I am not bound under the law of God to eat certain things or not to eat certain things. Paul was saying, I am free. I don't have to be bound to the Jewish laws and ceremonies. Now, when Melissa and I had children, praise the Lord, I was able to win her. And we had our children. It was part of the, process or the thing that we were looking forward to is having children. And when we were looking forward to having our children, we weren't looking forward to just getting them out of the house. We were looking forward to the process of being parents, looking forward to that. And along the way, we raise them and we invest in our children so that when they do reach that age, moms and dads, and it's time for them to move, that we would have confidence in our children when they leave our house that they're going to follow through with the things that we taught them. That's our hope, isn't it? And it could be that there are some parents that are concerned about that. Some, potentially, that along the way, the thought of your children leaving the house, it's kind of a scary thought. For some, it's potentially a horrifying thought. My child leaving the house, oh my goodness, you know. But it shouldn't be. It should be that as parents, we are blessed and excited. Not necessarily because we just can't wait to get them out of the house, but because we're not nervous about what they'll do when they leave. You see, when they leave your house, they're not under the umbrella of your rules anymore, are they? And so what are they going to do? What are they going to, how are they going to respond to this new freedom that they have? Because they truly, at that time, can do whatever they want to. This is what Paul is saying. He says, I now have freedom in Christ. However, I have made myself under authority. He has brought himself by his own choice into subjection or into a slave. That's what it means when it says he made himself. The word made here meant that he was willing to give himself wholly to the needs of others. It certainly wasn't a requirement of him, but he did all of this, it says, that he might gain the more. Now, what does that mean? Well, gain the more simply means that he desired to win more people. And that's why he did what he did. Because he wanted to win more people. He made himself a servant. All that he would win more people. So he was willing to become anything he needed to become to win people to Christ. Look at verse 20. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law. So Paul was willing to become a Jew, which means under the law, which is referring to a relationship with the Mosaic law. He was willing to follow certain guidelines, not because it was required of him, because he desired to win or gain the Jews, or win the Jews, or those that followed the pattern of the law. But it also says that he was willing to be without law. It says that, doesn't it? Now, let's talk about without law. It simply means without Mosaic law. It could mean, however, it could mean lawless. And whenever you have a lawless society, generally, here's what we're referring to, is a society that lives in wickedness. And that's an amen. A lawless society follows the whims of their heart. So here's the question, church. Was Paul willing to put himself under the Mosaic law to win people, to win the Jews to Jesus? Yes. Was he willing to live without law that he might gain, let's say, Gentiles? Was he willing to do that? Yes. Does that mean that Paul was willing to live in wickedness just to win people for Jesus? No. That's not what he was saying. Look at verse 21 again. To them that are without law, this is lawless, right? I hope you're looking at your Bible, because you're going to get less out of this if you're not following along in your Bible. We just go right out of the scriptures, okay? The authority is right here under our nose. Verse 21, look what it says. To them that are without law, as without law, this is the lawless. But look what Paul qualifies this with there in verse 21. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So Paul explains what he meant when he said without law. Was Paul willing to live in wickedness just to win people to Jesus? No. Under the law to God, under the law to Christ meant, or would have meant, that he was always obedient to Christ. Therefore, he was willing to deny or reject Mosaic law to live without that law to win the Gentiles, but it never meant that he was willing to live in sin or wickedness to reach people for Jesus. By the way, let me tell you, church, God never approves of ministry that utilizes worldliness to reach people for Jesus. He never approves of it. Never. And that is a text we can point to, isn't it? God does not approve of worldliness to reach people for Jesus. In other words, God does not approve of rock and roll, even if it's under the umbrella or guide or term of Christian. If it is worldly, God does not approve of it, even if it's used to reach people for Jesus. God does not approve of the use of alcohol. Listen to me, church. This is good. This is really good. Even if there are ministries and churches that use alcohol in the church as a part of a ceremonial type service, even if it's in the church, and even if a church teaches and preaches the approval of alcohol and liquor, approves from the pulpit the use of alcohol, I want you to know God never approves of worldliness to reach people for Jesus. Never. Yeah. We're deceived if we think God approves of living without law to Christ to win the lost. That's what he's saying. Under the law, he remained under the law to Christ. Always obedient to Christ. Always. That's good. Paul was willing to become anything he needed to become within the parameters of obedience to Christ, just to win the lost. Anything, he was willing to do it. Yeah. Verse 22, he goes on, he says, to the weak became I as weak. You know, that word weak means fragile. Paul strikes me as anything but fragile. Bible readers, do you feel that way about Paul? He strikes as a person who is anything but timid and meek, well, maybe not meek, but fragile, weak. But he would be willing to make himself weak. to gain the weak. Verse 22, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You know, I was reading this study and I was thinking about Paul. I was thinking, you know, I bet Paul had a comfort zone. Don't you? Is there anybody here? Don't raise your hand, please. But is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I don't have a comfort zone? I think you're probably not being honest. And we all have a comfort zone. And we tend to live there because we're comfortable there. Paul probably had a comfort zone, but he didn't live there, did he? He says, I am made, which is a willful choice, all things to all men. He was willing to become anything he needed to be. And in a way, to woo and to win my wife, I did this. I had to, and my wife, she could testify to this, but I don't want you to. Just, you don't need to. I think it'll be self-explanatory here, but whenever I met my wife, I had an extreme learning curve that needed to take place. And I'm not going to go on and on about this because I don't want to make myself look foolish as I was, but when I was in college, I was, in a lot of ways, I was really behind, you know, as the phrase goes, behind the eight ball. I was really behind. And for whatever reason in life, as I grew, I didn't mature in a lot of life things. So when I went to college, as far as my book learning for the first 2 years, I don't remember a whole lot about it. I did pass, but it was by the hair of my chinny chin chin, you know. I didn't get by with flying colors, but anyway. Had a lot of maturing to do, and college for me was really an indelible part of that process. Very important. And it really, you know, exponentially increased when I met my wife to be. She wasn't my wife at that time, but her maturity and her intelligence was, I mean, she's embarrassed, but I'm going to come over here. There's more people on this side, so. It was off the chart. I'm thinking, whoa, this is the woman that I want to be around. But here was the problem. I was not even close to that. Not even close. I had so much maturing to do, church. It was unbelievable. I was just very mature. Immature. Very immature. But you know, in this process, as we got to know each other, and I started to make observations about her intelligence and my lack thereof. And I made observations about her maturity and my lack thereof. You know what it did in me? It immediately increased my intelligence or my motivation to seek intelligence. And it increased my motivation to increase my level of maturity. Why? Because I loved her. And she had a high standard. And I wasn't reaching the standard. And so it increased. It changed me. You see? I changed. And here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I was willing to change. I was willing to change. Yes, it was outside of my comfort zone. But I was willing to change. Why? Just one reason. Just because I might possibly be able to win someone to Jesus. That's a great motive. He was willing to change. Just to win people. Did you know that this is precisely what we as Christians tend not to want to do? Get outside of our comfort zone. You say, well, Pastor, I don't struggle with that. Your nose is getting longer because you're not being honest. If you're a breathing human being and you're saved, then you don't like getting out of your comfort zone because we're all that way. And so what we tend to do is remain there, and we don't want to get outside of our comfort zone. Therefore, we don't branch out for the purpose, even if it's a noble purpose of reaching people for Jesus. Now, Paul was motivated to move beyond his comfort zone because the gospel could save anyone. Look at verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Wait a second, Pastor, what did Paul do? He got out of his comfort zone. He became anything that he needed to become for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now that phrase, for the gospel's sake, it simply meant because of the gospel. So Paul was motivated simply because of the gospel. He was not motivated by status, was he? He wasn't motivated by promotion or by money. We saw that last week, didn't we? He wasn't motivated by money. He didn't even get paid. Preached. He wasn't motivated by popularity. He was motivated by the gospel. He wanted to be a partaker thereof with you, he said to the church. Referring to salvation, he wasn't saying that I might be saved and work my way into it. No, Paul was saved. He wanted to see other people be a partaker along with him in the salvation that he had. He didn't want to keep it to himself. He wanted to give it to other people. And he was willing to become anything he needed to be to give the gospel to others. He was willing to get out of his comfort zone to give the gospel to others. He was motivated to become all things to all people, he said. Did you get that? All things to all people. It's a powerful phrase. I would say that's outside of the comfort zone, wouldn't you? All things. Just because he might be able to win someone to Jesus. Amazing. He lived outside of his comfort zone to win others for Christ. He lived there. So there it is. Paul challenged the church to get outside of their comfort zone. That was a pretty powerful challenge, wasn't it? Do you think God wants to challenge us today? I think so. But we have to identify something. We don't like getting out of our comfort zone. That's why this message is so important. Because we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. People struggle with things outside of their comfort zone. Even if they know that God is moving, they don't want to move. It is true. That's why if you know you need to be saved this morning, you know that God is working in your heart, and if you were to die today, you have no idea where you would go. You're concerned about it. Yeah, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Well, that's an uncomfortable feeling all by itself, isn't it? But do you know what's more uncomfortable than that feeling that you potentially have this morning? Is when the invitation begins and everybody stands up and Miss Marilyn's over there at the organ, and then I say this from the pulpit, I say, if you don't know for sure, if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven, but you want to get it settled. I mean, you would like to know that you're going to go to heaven. You could know that today. You can know that you're going to go to heaven because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that we can know that we have eternal life. The Bible says that. I trust the Bible by faith that God can tell us or give us confidence, a hope of our salvation. Hallelujah. Yes. And so you might be uncomfortable about your salvation, but you know, it could be that you might be a little bit more uncomfortable about stepping out and going to the altar this morning. Everybody's watching you. Ooh, look at who's going to the altar. Yeah, you might not know you're going to go to heaven, but that seems to be maybe a little bit more uncomfortable. You know what God wants you to do this morning? Get out of your comfort zone and get to the altar. Get it settled. But we don't like to do that. We do the same thing. Christians tend to do the same thing when it comes to serving God, being involved with certain ministries, you know. When God leads, he pricks your heart, you know, and he tells you, I want you to be involved. I want you to be involved with this ministry, or I want you to do this. And so he pricks, but you think to yourself, no, I can't do that. People will see me, you know. I don't want people to see me. I'll just not do that. I'll just give extra money, or I'll do something else, but not that. Oh, Lord, not that. People will see me, you know. And so to make that decision to move forward and do what God wants us to do, it will require you to get out of your comfort zone. And I want you to know, as I said in the beginning, God will only use you if you get out of your comfort zone. He only works through those that get out of their comfort zone. God sort of works in the realm of the uncomfortable zone. He works there. So get ready. You're going to hear from God, and he's going to ask you to do something that's not going to quite be comfortable. And God wants you to get out of that comfort zone and move. Whenever I was wooing my wife, part of that process, we went on a lot of dates. Those were good times. A lot of food, lots of eating, which for me was great, you know. My wife gives me a hard time because she remembers those days as this. And I don't know why she remembers it this way, but whatever. But anyway, we would go out to eat and we'd say, oh, let's share a meal. And she always knew that when we shared a meal, it meant she wasn't going to get to eat hardly anything. I don't know why she remembers it that way, but she didn't like sharing a meal, I guess. But I remember whenever I scheduled a date between her, myself, and my dad, because she hadn't really gotten all that acquainted with my dad yet. I feel like that's fairly important to get to know the family. And I waited until I pretty well knew that she was going to, you know, get married to me before I did that. Because, you know, they say you get more like your parents, and that got me scared because my dad, you know, anyway. So we get to the meal, and I had this whole thing, and it was a good time. It was a fun time, you know. We went to this restaurant, and we had a meal, and we had a great time. And then after the meal, whenever the bill came, I just waited, and my dad grabbed it, and he paid for it. And I didn't think anything about it because I always did that. Dad always paid for everything, you know. And it was, and I'm thinking, yeah, because I was in college, and I didn't have any money anyway, so, you know, I was thinking, all right, Dad. So then later on, I found out that my wife-to-be, not my wife yet, was really bothered by that. That I would plan a meal. I'm telling on myself, okay? Don't judge me, I've changed. That I would plan a meal, that I would get me and her and him have this nice meal, and then expect somebody else to pay for it. It was like light bulb. I'd never even thought that way before. Dad always paid for everything. And I'm thinking, oh, you see what I'm talking about, the standard? So what did I do? No, I didn't do that. I changed. And that's just one example of many where God, along the way, God wants us to be willing to change. And for you to do that, you have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to. God's going to work in you. He's going to say, I want you to do something. I want you to be involved with this, you know, whatever. I'm not going to be the Lord this morning and tell you, but it could be that God is saying, I want you to be in the choir. Oh, my goodness, no. See me. Well, it's not me calling you. If perhaps God is working in you and you say, I don't want to do it, but God is saying, here's what he's saying. Here's what Paul is encouraging, and I believe God this morning is saying, step outside of your comfort zone and move forward. Amen. could be that God wants you to tell people about Jesus. And that's not always comfortable. I don't have a track with me, but you know, we have these little brochures in the back, and if you would like to grab some, you can. They're designed to give away as gifts. So if there's a neighbor or a family or a friend or an acquaintance or somebody you never met in your whole life at the gas station or whatever, but God pricks your heart and he wants you to invite them to church, then carry some of those. You can pull it out of your pocket or your purse or whatever, and you can say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I go to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And you know, I just want to encourage you to come. You might have a church, and I'm not trying to steal you away, but listen, I just want to invite you to come. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you come." Give it to them. And, you know, hallelujah. It could be God wants you to do that. But, you know, to do that, it might require you to get out of your comfort zone, because it's not always comfortable to do that, is it? Like a guy at the store, or a guy, you know, the waitress at the, you know, at the restaurant, or your neighbor, or family. Sometimes family can be harder than anybody, you know. Just get out of your comfort zone. Invite people to church. I'd love to have you come. We have this awesome ministry. It's called Come and Dine. And we have an amazing meal every Sunday. Every Sunday. And the people are loving at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. No one let me down on that one, church. People are loving there, and they really genuinely care about you. They want to get to know you. They don't just introduce themselves. They sit and they talk to you, and it's really refreshing, and it's encouraging. And this ministry, Come and Dine. Come on to Valley Avenue Baptist. Hey, it's food. Just come on, and just come and eat with us. And God will get, you know, and sometimes just inviting people to church is hard. Did you know sometimes it's hard just to talk to people you don't know, even when you're at church? You know, this side, we'll call this the north side of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. This is the south side, okay? Sometimes there is a wall, a barrier, you know. And sometimes there's walls that go, you know, east and west, and we don't want to talk to people because we don't know them. We're nervous to reach out and branch out and get to know new people. Any of you, don't raise your hand. You probably won't raise your hand anyway because you don't want anybody to look at you. You say, "I don't like to meet new people. I don't like to branch out and talk. I don't like that. I would rather just, like, not talk to anybody," you know. Some of us are that way. You know what God wants us to do, church? Get out of our comfort zone. Start talking to people. Get to know each other. Really get to know each other. Like, "Yeah, it's rained today, yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to rain tomorrow. Might rain later this week, too. All right, see you later." No, I think maybe we could take it another step than that, right? Get to know each other. Now, it's nothing wrong with talking about the weather. It's always, usually it's a good way to start. But let's take it further than that. And if it's uncomfortable for you to do that, that's okay. Get out of your comfort zone. Do it anyways. Amen? Let me encourage you, church. Get out of your comfort zone. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your blessings as you pour yourself out on this church. God, as we think about how good you are, it's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for challenging us from your word every single time we open it. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the lessons that you teach us about life, but which goes beyond just the wisdom of man. It goes to your wisdom, which is always the love of you and the love of our neighbor. Lord, help us to love each other. Help us to be willing to be motivated by the love that we have for you to step out of our comfort zone. Help us to change. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Don't play the organ just yet, Miss Marilyn. I'm going to ask an important question. I'm going to ask that question that I asked earlier. "Pastor, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven." And whenever you are mentioning that, I have to say that I really do fall into that category. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure. Now, I hope that I'll go to heaven, but I don't know. And Pastor, will you pray for me? Now, I want you to know, before you lift your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to drag you down to the altar. I'm not going to come down and point you out. You will not be isolated. I won't call you out later on. I just want to pray for you, and I promise you I will do that. But you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure. If I was to die, I'd go to heaven. Will you pray for me? Anybody? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? I've seen all the hands thus far. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? I didn't raise my hand, Pastor, but I want to raise my hand now. I don't know for sure if I was to die that I would go to heaven. Will you pray for me? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. I won't embarrass you. Go ahead and lift your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. I promised that I'd pray for you, and I will. But before I pray for you that lifted your hand, I want to encourage you, whenever we stand for invitation time, if you'd like to talk to somebody about knowing for sure about your eternal destiny, whether you'll go to heaven or not, you can come to the altar this morning. And I'll be here. I'll talk with you. If you'd like to talk after church, just let me know. And we'll schedule a time to meet. And we'll get it settled. But certainly don't just let it go, please. You say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved, but I believe God wants me to get involved with some things, but it's out of my comfort zone. Will you pray for me? I need to step out of my comfort zone. Will you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Thank you for your honesty all over the place. You can put your hands down. Well, God's working, so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we pray that You'll work in the behalf of those that are here this morning. And Lord, we pray that You'll, through the Spirit, can bring conviction to those who are lost, that they'll realize their need of salvation before it's too late, and You will compel them to move, to come. And God, we also pray for those that need to step out of their comfort zone and be involved in some way, in some manner that You've worked in them. I pray You to help them, encourage them to take that step by faith. I pray Your encouragement this morning, Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.